We're beginning a new series this morning in Luke chapter 9 and 10. Two fabulous passages of scripture are just full of gems. You might think, oh, I know some bits of those chapters. Well, I know some bits of those chapters too, but even this week, God has just been thrilling me again with things in them, and I look forward to these weeks ahead as we look at it together. We're looking at the whole theme of living free. We were talking about that on the 2nd of January, and we'll be unpacking that a bit more as we go through this coming months. And also, I think Energize are going to be doing this similar thing in their times as well, as the youth go out and look in the Bible during the service as well. So Luke chapter 9, do talk about it if you've got teenagers with them, as they explore it, as you explore it. And particularly we're going to notice some things here about what it is to be a follower of Jesus. I wonder if you're maybe here because you want to grow as a follower of Jesus. Well, I want to grow as a follower of Jesus. And I sometimes think, you know what, Jesus, I think there's more of this following you business that I want to discover. And that's what we're going to see as we go in, that there's more that God wants us to learn. And that what is key to being a follower of Jesus is also knowing who Jesus is. His identity and our identity are intricately linked. So what we're going to see in Luke 9 and 10 is that we discover more about him. We'll discover more about us. We'll discover more about what it learns to follow this wonderful Savior who gave his life for us. So we're going to turn to Luke chapter 9 and we're going to read from verse 1 to verse 9. This is what it says. It's page 1039. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons, to cure diseases, and he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, shake the dust off your feet, and when you leave their town, as a testimony against them. So they set out and went from village to village, preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard about all that was going on, and he was perplexed because some were saying that John had been raised from the dead, others that Elijah had appeared, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago had come back to life. But Herod said, I beheaded John. Who then is this I hear such things about? And he tried to see him. Should we just pray and ask God to speak to us as we open up his word this morning? Open our eyes, Lord, that we might see wonderful things in your word. Open our ears that we might hear you. Open our hearts that we might follow you. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Can I have everyone's attention, please? I'd like you to listen very carefully to what I'm going to say. I'd like you to stand. Could you stand? If you're able, please stand. Great, isn't that wonderful? You see, you listened, and you're able to follow what I said. You can sit down now. And, you know, if we're to follow what someone is saying, you've got to listen, haven't you? If someone is speaking and you want to know what they're asking you to do, you must first listen to them. And in this passage in front of us, the first thing we're going to see is that Jesus calls his followers to him so that they can listen to what he's got to say, his instructions. So first, we need to listen to Jesus if we're to follow him. Look at Luke 9, 1, and when Jesus had called the 12 together, there's that sense, even in that little phrase, that Jesus' disciples were probably scattered a little bit throughout that region. We know that some of them, like Simon Peter, had a wife, and then imagine others did, and maybe children as well. They had homes, probably. We sometimes read the Gospels and think they just, you know, spent all their time with Jesus for 3 years. But I get the sense that they were scattered from time to time, and then Jesus would call them, and sometimes they'd go on mission trips, and sometimes they would follow him together and get on boats together. But often they were back with their families, and then he would summon them, and they would come, and they would listen. And this is one of those moments where he calls them, and they come. bit like we've maybe known his prompting and leading to be here this morning, to come together and listen to Jesus. And as they come, he has an intention for them. He wants to bless them. He wants to give them, what does it say? Power and authority. To drive out all demons and to cure diseases and to send them, verse 2, and he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And I wonder if you've ever thought, well, how did he do those two things? How did Jesus give them authority and how did he send them out? I don't know. Sometimes try to imagine into the Bible stories. Maybe, you know, what he did was he just grabbed a hold of them and just threw them the way he was going to. You think he did that? No. Now, I think actually with both of these things, and the only thing we're really told in any of these passages in Luke or in Matthew and Mark where similar accounts are there for us, the only thing we know about how he gave them authority and how he sent them out was that he spoke to them. He spoke and said, as he did that time on Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go. Go and preach, go and heal, go and speak for me. And you and I know even a little bit what it is to sometimes go to a place, maybe we've been told by a boss or by maybe when you're at school, someone saying, look, can you go here? And someone might say, well, what are you doing here when you come? We say, well, so-and-so told me. And that sense of being under authority of someone else, that their authority has been vested in you and you go in their name with their authority. And so too, Jesus follows us. If they were to have his authority, if they were to know where he was sending them, they had first to listen to what he wanted to say to them. We're going to be thinking, our title this morning is about authority and availability. The two we see are right connected right at the start. If we're to know something of the authority of Jesus in what he's calling us to do, then we need to be available to listen to Jesus, to know what it is that he wants us to do. See, following Jesus is our primary calling. But to do that, we need to listen to him. You might have, if you were here 2 weeks ago, have received one of these little cards. At the top, it says, Following Jesus. It's a card with a few things that we're about as a church. It's, if you like, a bit of our vision and a description of us, but also something that I want us to grow in as a church over the years. This is not just for this year. This is not our verse for the year card. This is something that I long would be a growing heartbeat of Holland Road, that we're a people who follow Jesus. If you don't have one of these cards, there's still piles at the back. You can get one as you go out, or maybe you got given one even as you came in, but do please pick one up. They're to help remind us what we're about as a church. We're following Jesus, we're reaching out, we're an extended family, we're doing everything in love. And on the back, it's got some little questions so that we can help spur one another on in that as we gather together, maybe in over coffee, or I hope you maybe have a friend who can help spur you on in your journey. And at the back, there's a question under this following Jesus point, and it just simply says this: are you getting regular time with Jesus in God's word and in prayer? Are you listening to him? Many call themselves Christians. This means follower of Jesus, little Christ. Can I ask you, how do you know you're a Christian? How do you know you're following Jesus if you're not listening to him? You need to listen if you're to follow. I find I need to listen regularly. I need to listen daily. I sometimes even need to listen more than that if I'm to be following Jesus. So are you listening to him at the moment? Are you taking time so that you can know what decisions to make, so you can know how to live your life? Are you listening? It's amazing. As we see them listen to Jesus, this imperative that he tells them. He tells them, go, go. He's sending them out to both preach and to heal. He's sending them out to meet the needs of those around him, their soul needs, but also their physical needs. See, God is caring. God cares about people. He cares about the whole person. And as he sends his disciples, he sends them out to do these two things. And you and I are also called, as we reach out, to reach out with this same heart. As we watch Jesus do his ministry, we learn how to do ours because again, the two are linked. There's a fantastic quote, which we might use a number of times through this series, but it describes this connection between what Jesus does and what we do. It's by a guy called Michael Wilcock. I had a privilege of meeting him this year and just spending time with him. But this is what he says. He says, "For Christ is the prophet who is to be heard and heeded. That is why the church, if it is to carry on its work, is to be a preaching church. But he's also not just a prophet, he is the royal son who with his wealth and power provides for all the needs of his people. That is why his church must exercise the same ministry and be a community in which members are likewise concerned with one another's needs, caring and nourishing and building up. But he is also the chosen servant who treads the path of suffering, and that is why all those who wish to be his disciples must similarly take up the cross and deny themselves." So as we look at him, as we listen to him, then we learn too how to do our own work. So we come to this passage, and we might, maybe in your own time or as we gather now, we read it here. And it says this, "He told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave them that town as a testimony against them." So are we meant to do that? Is that what you and I should be doing as we leave this place? Well, yes, in essence, it is. It is what you and I are meant to be doing. We are called to be those who go out and look for people to tell them the good news, that we should be those who are spreading it. The disciples were going out into the villages, but God calls us to go out into all the world. That is the remit he's given us. And in the rest of the Bible, he says, don't be weighed down by stuff. Don't let stuff be more important than people. People are more important than stuff. But the specifics do sometimes change. Maybe you're a bit pleased to know that. Cynthia and Oliver, as you came back from Ethiopia, and I was there with you when you all left, and I knew you had a few bags with you. I didn't notice any staffs. But, you know, there are different seasons, aren't there? And even Jesus, we have here on the screen, when he spoke to his disciples in Luke 22, he said this to them. He said, then Jesus asked them, you know, when I sent you out without a purse or bag or sandals, did you lack anything? Nothing, they answered. He said to them, but now if you have a purse, take it, and also a bag. He goes on. So here's the question. This week, as we go out, which we know we're still meant to do, because that call is there to be those that are reaching out, that are going out towards others, are we meant to do this or are we meant to do the other? What do you think? And if we're meant to do one or other, or maybe something even different, how are we to know? How are we to know what Jesus is calling us to do? Any ideas? We need to listen. We need to listen to him. If we're to know the season and the tools and the things that he's got for us in these days ahead, we need to listen. We need to come before him and pray. And as we do that, we need to sometimes do that individually, because as you go into your workplace or into that college situation, as you go into your family situation, God and you will be able to discern best what is right and what you need in that situation, in that time. But we also need to come and listen together. This is one of the things that thrills me about these times. This is why, you know, much as I would love to just walk right out through that door right now and go and see my family, this is why I'm still here, because these are precious times. They're times when we come together to listen to God, to discern his voice, so that we can go out together to be effective for him in reaching this lost world. As we read here in Luke chapter 9, he called them together to listen to them so that they could listen as one, because they were to be coordinated in what they're going. They were going to go out in twos, we read in Mark's gospel. They were going to go out probably to different areas. They were going to go out from community, in community, and then come back to community. There was to be a sense of their coordination. They weren't just called to be lone rangers. He didn't just say, right, well, go then, clear off each one of you, go and, you know, sort something out. No, he sent them with a purpose. They were to coordinate in the same way as we come together and listen together. God has got things for us to do as a body body of people for him. And if we can really grasp this and hear this, then we're going to be more effective this week in reaching people who need to know the good news of Jesus Christ, both for their souls and for their bodies. And one of the things that I believe that God has been speaking to us as leaders and to us as a church is to be a people who go out more towards others, to meet them where they are. You know, as a church, traditionally, maybe historically, we've tended to have this approach. We go out and we say to people, would you like to come to us and find out more of the good news? So we might say, would you like to come on Sundays? Or would you like to come to Alpha? And those things are wonderful and good. In fact, this week I bumped into a guy who was interested in doing the Alpha course. And I foolishly didn't have an Alpha flyer on me. And he actually said, just around the corner, he said, oh, that's the church that does an Alpha course. So he once started one and he was interested in doing a bit more. And so I thought, must grab that. We need to keep doing that. We need to keep going and saying, hey, do you want to come on Sunday? Do you want to come and encounter good news here? But I don't think that's all we're called to do. Do you notice in Luke 9, the disciples, they could have been told by Jesus, can you now go out, spread out, and can you tell everyone to come back next week, and in Caesarea near Galilee, you know, I'm gonna do a big meeting, there'll be some healings there, there'll be some miracles, and there'll be a great message. Could you go and spread the word and tell them to come next, Sunday or whenever, and can they come and find me there? Is that what Jesus said? No, he called them to go and be in effect Christ to those people where they went. They were to be the ones who went and proclaimed the good news. They were to be the ones who went and healed people. And you imagine, these are ordinary fishermen and tax collectors and kind of zealots and two young kind of brothers, James and John, who, they're people who would have thought, what, me, Lord? But yet God had given them authority to do what he called them to do. And you and I believe, are not just called to go and say, oh, come back and hear what David's got to say next week, or in fact, it's Tim speaking next week. Or don't just say, come and, you know, come to Alpha and engage with what's going on there. No, we're called to go and be the carriers of good news to others. We're to go and care for the needs of others. Yes, physically. Yes, pray for people. Yeah, do practically what you can for them. Go and tell them that you've discovered something wonderful. And even in those places, often that's where God will encounter people, where they are. I'm thrilled at the stories of what we're calling missional communities, but it doesn't really matter what you call them, of groups of people who from this church are going out and seeking to find where people are and bring the good news to them. So, I love... Lisa Elborn has just got a passion for knitting. She knows some people who like knitting around where she lived. And, Lisa's just thought, you know what? I could get a group of people together to knit, and I could tell them a bit about Jesus as we're doing that. And so she's doing that. And those people, they may only, I know, a couple of them might come along to church once in a while, but even if they don't, they're getting the good news there. And that's exciting to hear of that group growing. I'm excited to hear of, international students and the way people are just going out and connecting with them and see that kicking off this year. I'm excited to hear of some of the young people had opportunity to go into the classrooms to speak about stuff that they were doing on at school, and just praise God for that. It's been fun as a dad of young kids to think, okay, for me, how do I do this? Well, I've been trying with Brian and just some others who we know kind of similar people. Brian works at Ricardo, where I used to work. We know some of the same young dads. And I was just thinking, how can we just get some meet where people are? And so we've sometimes just gone to a pub and sort of met as dads and said, why don't you come along? And we've, our friends, they sometimes don't come along to church, but they'll come along to the pub. And we've said, well, let's talk about how to be good dads and good husbands. So we talk about that. And you know what? Being a good dad and a good husband, that's quite difficult. When your kids ask you about things like, well, what about God? And what about prayer? And kids of all different backgrounds, they ask those kind of questions. So you get into these conversations there in the pub, and we get a chance to talk about the good news of Jesus Christ right there where people are at. It's thrilling. Those are the people that God, friends of mine, that God's put on my heart. And I'm thinking, how do I reach them? And I'm wondering as I look out, what about your friends? What about people you know? How do you, with maybe others, get alongside them and bring the gospel to where they are? I'm looking up and just wonderful to remember last term how people decided, well, my friends might not come along to church, but they might come along to their house. So they put on an alpha course at their house. God used it to bring one of their friends to Christ. Praise God. You might be sitting there thinking, but David, you know, I don't have the resources or maybe lots of time, or I don't have the stuff that I might need or know how to do it. And, you know, a bit like these guys, they didn't have a staff or a journey, or they didn't have a staff or a bag or money. They probably felt a bit inadequate. What were they to do? They were to rely on God. In God, they had what they needed. And you and I, as we start these groups, and I'm praying for even this month for 3 more groups to just start, for people to say, hey, you know, I'd like to try and reach my friends this way. Can someone come and help me? And people start trying to reach out where they're at. And you might think, well, I don't have the resources. Well, praise God, He's got the resources. You just need to listen to Him, let Him speak, and place people on your hearts that He wants you to go to. And as we do that, I believe we'll be more and more the church that He's called us to be. Okay. Listen to Jesus. Will you willingly listen to Him? If you get close to Jesus, what I discover is He's got people on His heart. As I spend time with Him, I find He gets me praying for others. He gets me wanting to go to others. As I've spent time with Him, I find He then opens doors of opportunity for me to speak to others about Him. And so I encourage you, listen to Jesus. And then in the Bible, listening always comes with obeying. If you really listen to God, you want to obey Him. You want to do what He has to say. Let us not be merely hearers of the word and so deceive ourselves. Let us do what He says. Hey, praise God that people go across the world to spread this kind of stuff. But let us be willing to go across the street, across our neighborhood, and spread this wonderful good news. Cynthia, was it exciting going to Ethiopia? Exciting, isn't it? Doing mission is exciting. It's exciting as well in your own local context and home. It's exciting to see how God touches lives as you go with the good news of Jesus Christ. So that's listening to Jesus. We need to be doing that in these days, but we also need to be looking to Him. Let me just continue as we read verse 7, 8, and 9. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard all about what was going on, and he was perplexed because some were saying that John had been raised from the dead, others that Elijah had appeared, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago had come back to life. But Herod said, I beheaded John. Who then is this I hear so many things about? And he tried to see him. I believe this passage is here for a reason. It might seem an odd compliment to what's just gone before, but I believe that the Holy Spirit knew what He was doing when He put this right here next to the bit about the disciples being sent out. I believe that one of the things that we see here is that the identity of who Jesus is linked intricately with the identity of His followers. We're going to see that, as I said, time and time again throughout the chapter. In fact, this little questions that Herod is asking is very similar to what Peter's going to be asking later on in the chapter. And as Peter digs into this, he's going to discover who Jesus really is, the identity of Jesus, that He is the Christ, the one who came to suffer, to die. So as we discover the identity of Jesus, so too we're going to discover all that God has for us as His people. But in that discovery of who Jesus is, we discover something about following Jesus, and that is this: it has a cost. Following Jesus has a cost. We read later on in the chapter in Luke 9:23, then He said to them all, if anyone would come after Me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow Me. Do you want to just read that out again with me? Let it sink in. Let's say it again. Luke 9:23, it's there in front of you. Then He said to them, if anyone would come after Me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow Me. I believe this passage about the beheading of the John the Baptist and about Herod comes directly after the one about the disciples being sent out, so that as we were reading it, as others in the future are reading it, we would be reminded that following Jesus has a cost. It has a great cost. It is a cost that you will only be willing to go through on if you realize as you look to Jesus how wonderful he is, how worth it he is. If there's anything else more precious to you than Jesus, your home, your safety, your entertainment, your schedule, even your family, even your children. If they're more precious to you than Jesus, wonderful though those things are, you will never be willing to go through with the cost. And part of why we come together to listen, to praise, to worship is to remind ourselves he's worth it. Because there are many people in the world who are interested in Jesus. There are many people who would like to know more about Jesus. There are many people who are kind of intrigued by him. Herod was interested in Jesus. It says here that he heard about him. He was intrigued. He wondered, you know, was he Elijah or was he John the Baptist raised from the dead? And it says at the end, he tried to see Jesus. Herod, the king, in fact, his area of jurisdiction was that whole area of Galilee. He tried to see Jesus. And yet, if you turn to Luke 23, you'll read in the trial when Jesus actually comes to Herod, that we read that Herod was actually, I think it's like 23:6 or 7 or 8. When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased because for a long time he had been wanting to see him. So this is about 2-3 years later. Herod still hadn't seen Jesus. So he tried to see him, but I don't know, maybe he just had a lot on as the kind of, king in that area, or maybe the entertainment was really good. So he kind of tried to go, but then he thought, I know what, this entertainment, I better just finish it. So he tried, but in all his trying, he didn't make it until Jesus actually came to him in his trial 2-3 years later. And I've been so challenged by this, because as I was thinking about it, I've been thinking, how often do we maybe try to get close to Jesus? But there's different distractions and things. So we stay at a kind of safe distance or a distance where we don't really fully embrace all his wonder. How was it that the king of this area, he didn't manage to see Jesus, but the woman who was bleeding and had been bleeding for years, she managed not only to see him, but to touch him. How is it that this king didn't manage to see Jesus, but that the centurion slaves who were going to try and find him, they managed to find him? How is it that the king didn't see Jesus, but little children could go and run into his arms? How is it that the king didn't see Jesus, but blind Bartimaeus, who was blind, he managed to see Jesus by calling out until Jesus came and opened his eyes? How is that possible? Could it be because they persisted, they called, they went, they looked, they weren't resting until they found him? Could it be that they came humbly, willing to even be exposed for their seeking? Absolutely. Could it be that Herod kind of trying was kind of like, well, I'd really like to get closer to you this week. I'm going to try, Lord, but I'm not going to set my alarm clock and I'm not really going to take any time out of my schedule. I'm just hoping that somehow we'll bump into one another. Oh, next week, I didn't really get much closer to Jesus. I didn't really listen to him. I didn't really see much more about him. So as I've been studying this week and sometimes even myself been thinking, okay, you know, I went into a cafe to prepare this message, and I found I sat down. I went there because it was a bit busy around the office when I'd just come back on Thursday from being away at a conference, and I came back and I thought, right, I need to really focus, bit of distraction. So I went to a cafe, thought that might be better. There's a quiet place around the back of one of the cafes. I went in and it was full of people. I thought, that's okay, they'll be quiet, I'll just sit down here. But there were really noisy conversations, and I'm thinking, I'm trying to prepare this thing about listening to Jesus and I'm struggling to listen. I thought, no, David, just concentrate. Read, write, think, block it out. Do you do that sometimes? Do you ever find, yes, there are things, but you find, no, if you want to get close to Jesus, you need to just focus on him. Listen carefully. If you're married, you know what it is with kids around. If you want to listen to your spouse, you sometimes just got to listen carefully to say, wait, I'm listening. Take time to listen to him and you'll discover that what he's calling to you is wonderful. What he's saying to you is precious, that as you see him, it's worth it. You discover that as you do that, that sense of having authority in what you do, as you make yourselves available not only to listen but to look to him, it just goes up. Interesting, isn't it, that John and the disciples, who didn't really have any position of authority other than that they were doing God's work and had spent time with him, listening to him, they had and spoke with great authority. Whereas King Herod, who had this position of authority, he was just a sham. Because authority comes as you spend time with the one who has authority. And the one who has authority is Jesus Christ. He is Lord over all. And he is calling us as a church. He's calling us to be those that draw near and listen to him together and individually, and then who go out corporately and in communities and go out and spread this word, this good news of what he has done. And he wants us to be part of his rescue mission. I don't know if you've seen some of the footage of people being rescued. I think we got one from Australia. This family, I don't know the story of what happened to this family, but I saw this picture and it was kind of haunting. This family on the top of the car just surrounded by water. I heard a story of another 13-year-old boy. I think this was in Australia as well. This 13-year-old boy was looking after his younger brother. And when they came to rescue, and they could only rescue one of them, the older brother, the 13-year-old, said, "Take my younger brother first." By the time they came back for the older brother, he died. That is costly rescue. That is love. That has touched people in Queensland, so they've heard that story. Sure, in Brazil, there'll be other stories like that. Because rescue involves love and sacrifice. If you lost someone or something, if my family went off for a day out, let's say to Alfriston Forest, or, you know, that forest around there in sort of Sussex. Say we went out there and time came to finish and the kids had been running around and we found, you know, saw Lila, and then we thought, well, where's Amy gone? Oh, I can't see Amy. Well, we've got Lila. Let's just go. You'd come back and you'd shake me and you'd say, "What are you doing? Go back for Amy." But you wouldn't need to, because I'd be there searching for her and looking for her. And I'd be, as she's got this little story she loves at the moment about the lost shepherd who goes over the thorns and the brambles and looks behind the haystack, like the good shepherd in the Bible. The good shepherd seeks out of the sheep. God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son into a messy world of sin, of difficulty, of pain, to die for men and women so that we could be set free. That is his identity. And he calls you and I in a similar way to pick up our cross, to deny ourselves, to follow him, because he is worth it. And he is worth it, he knows that people are worth it too. They matter to him. So as we spend time with Jesus, we find our heart and love for people grows, and we want to go and join him in being part of rescuing and reaching out and finding those. And don't settle and say, "Well, you know, that person there, they might never be interested." No, go and keep praying and pressing and serving them and winning yourself an opportunity to speak into their life and praying for a miracle, for a breakthrough, for something to happen where they're going to discover the love of Jesus. As we go into this year, let's not just settle for, wouldn't it be great if 2011 was like 2010? No! Wouldn't it be great if this year more and more people were discovering the good news of Jesus Christ? What are your expectations for 2011? Have great expectations, church, of what God can do. He is a rescuing God who gives his church, his people, authority to go and speak and to minister in his name with power by the Holy Spirit. So listen and look attentively to him. And then what he calls you to, the people he calls you to, love them and serve them and speak to them and minister to them with the power and strength he provides, whatever the cost. And then let's celebrate. Let's celebrate as each one comes home, as each one is found, rescued. But let's go as he called us to be. This is our vision as a church. This is what we are. This is what I want us to keep being, a church that follows Jesus, who reaches out. That's an extended family as we love and care for one another, and that does everything in love. Let's be that people in these days. And if we're to do that, we need to be those that listen and those that look to this Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to end with a story, and then we're going to pray. A story I heard this week. It's a man who went to be a missionary in a remote part of India. And as he went, he did the stuff that we're called to do. He loved people, he served them, he taught them, and just none of them came to Christ. But he kept at it. Different people were praying for him, and in fact, the guy who spoke at one of our conferences, he spoke of this man and said that he just persevered on with the gospel, and then he died. And at his funeral, some of the people in this village that had been really hard to reach, quite a number came to Christ at his funeral. And then within the matter of weeks, and in fact, within a few months, the whole village had come to Christ. And so the others who had known this missionary friend, they came to the village and said, "What were you doing? This man would have loved to have known about all this. You know, why did you wait? Why did you wait until his funeral and these days afterwards to come to Christ?" And they said, "Well, this man had told us that if you were a follower of Jesus, you didn't need to fear death. And so we wanted to see if he was speaking the truth. And so when we watched him die and knew that he wasn't afraid of dying, we knew that what he said was true. And so we believed." People are watching our lives. They're watching our lives to see if what we've been saying is true, how we cope with the difficulties, how we live with the frustrations, what sacrifices we're willing to make. They're watching our lives. Because they want to see if this Jesus we speak about, if they can see him in us. And I pray they will be able to, because we've spent time with him. Let's just pause and do that right now. We're just going to be still. And you've come not to a service. You've come to meet Jesus this morning, I believe. I hope so. So just in this moment, open up your heart. Just say, "Jesus, what do you want to speak to me about?" Let's be still. Maybe you want to ask if there are people that he wants to put on your heart. Lord, to whom will you send us? Who do we need to go with? Lord, what do we need to take? Lord, here we are, we're available. We ask afresh for the authority that comes as your servants, your sons and daughters. We ask for the love that you give afresh. Lord, as some of us have to go and pick up children from minis or discoverers, Lord, we know you're sending us to them first and foremost. So, Lord, we would just pray for our children. Lord, pray that they would grow up to know and love you because they see Christ in us. Lord, pray that they would grow up and that you would be the most important thing to them because they see that you are the most important thing to us, person to us. For those of us who have to go back from here to flatmates, to housemates, again, we pray for them, Lord, that as they watch our lives closely, they would see Jesus. Lord, without you, we cannot do this. So we ask now for your help. In Jesus' name, amen.